नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। आत्मानन्दानुभूत्यैव न्यस्तशक्त्युर्मये नमः। ऋषिकेशाय महते नमस्ते नन्दमूर्तये। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: परसीविंग योर पर्सनल ब्लिस, यू आर ऑलवेज ट्रांसेंडेंटल टू द वेव्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर। देयरफॉर माय लॉर्ड, आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अन टू यू। यू आर द सुप्रीम कंट्रोलर ऑफ द सेंसेस एंड योर एक्सपेंशन ऑफ फॉर्म आर अनलिमिटेड। यू आर द ग्रेटेस्ट and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport: this verse analytically differentiates the living entity from the Supreme Lord. The form of the Lord and the form of the conditioned soul are different because the Lord is always blissful, whereas the conditioned soul is always under the threefold miseries of the material world. The Supreme Lord is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He derives Ananda, bliss, from his own self. The Lord's body is transcendental, spiritual, but because the conditioned soul has a material body, he has many bodily and mental troubles. The conditioned soul is always perturbed by attachment and detachment, whereas the Supreme Lord is always free from such dualities. The Lord is the supreme master of all senses, whereas the conditioned soul is controlled by the senses. The Lord is the greatest, whereas the living entity is the smallest. The living entity is conditioned by the waves of material nature, but the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all actions and reactions. The expansions of the Supreme Lord's body are innumerable: Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. But the conditioned soul is limited only to one form. From history we learn that a conditioned soul by mystic power can sometimes expand into 8 forms, but the Lord's bodily expansions are unlimited. This means that the bodies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no beginning and no end, unlike the bodies of the living entities. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing with the narration of Maharaj Chitraketu's meeting the Supreme Lord, and herein Maharaj Chitraketu is offering very beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord Sri Sankarshan. And this purport Srila Prabhupada very categorically and methodically differentiates the Supreme Lord from the living entity. Life is all a matter of choices. Moment by moment a person is supposed to make choices. Choose the right from the wrong, the righteous from the unrighteous, the spiritual from the ritualistic. And based on the choices that a living being makes, his destiny is controlled and decided. The Supreme Lord gives innumerable opportunities to the living entity to make the right choice. But sometimes the living entity is so foolish that he does not accept to choose the right option given by the Lord and continuously keeps on making the wrong choices and thus binding himself more and more and more in the cycle of birth and death. Recently when we were in Nepal, Govind Prabhu was giving a very beautiful class at ISKCON Kathmandu, and I liked the point he made very much. It was a very inspiring point. He was explaining how in the Mahabharata it is explained that there are two greatest fools on the planet Earth. The two greatest fools that existed on the planet in the history, one is Duryodhan and second is Ravan. And this is a verse. In a verse, the Mahabharata explains that the two greatest fools that existed on the planet Earth are Duryodhan and Ravan. And why are they called fools? Because they kept making the wrong choices. The Lord kept giving them opportunities to change, But they kept making the wrong choices. So he was explaining very beautifully how a person hears, a person sees, a person experiences, but still a person does not change. Duryodhan had heard time and again the good advice of Bhishma, of Drona, of Vidura to change, to surrender to Krishna, to know the prowess of the Pandavas. He had heard it all. But the tube light did not light up in his head. Duryodhan had seen with his own eyes. He had seen right in the presence of all the members of the assembly of Hastinapur how Krishna had revealed his universal form. He had seen Krishna's prowess. He had seen Arjuna's prowess. When Uttar Kumar, the son of the king of Virat, had attacked the Kauravas had come to attack. This is just in the end of the exile. Arjuna was still in the form of a eunuch as Brihannala. And Duryodhan had seen Brihannala. He knew this is Arjuna. He came to a conclusion this is Arjuna. He had seen that not even in his full form as a warrior, in the form of a eunuch, he was so powerful and he defeated him. He had seen how powerful Arjuna was. He had experienced. Right from the very beginning of his life, Duryodhan had experienced the power of the Pandavas, especially Bhima. Again and again, he had seen how powerful they were. And after seeing, hearing, experiencing, this was not the final thing. Krishna had still come to give them a choice as a Shantidut, as the peace messenger. Krishna gave them three choices. He said to Duryodhan, it's best to accept the Pandavas as superior. They are superior to you. So if they are superior to you, then it's best that you submit, because you're supposed to submit to the superiors. But if you think that they are inferior to you, then at least show some mercy and give them five villages. And if you think that they are equal to you, then make a compromise. If they are inferior, give five villages. If they are equal, make a tie, truce, compromise. If they are superior, submit. Krishna came and gave that choice. And still, in spite of hearing, seeing, experiencing the power of Krishna and the Pandavas, in spite of having given the choice the last minute, still Duryodhan made the wrong choice. And therefore, he is said to be the greatest of all fools. Dekha, suna, anubhav kiya, phir bhi batti nahi jali dimag mein. The second greatest fool is Ravana. Several times he heard. He heard from his wife. He heard from his brother. He heard from Hanuman. He heard from Angad. So much he heard about the prowess of the Lord, the power of the Lord, how Lord Ram could easily defeat him. But said, what's the big deal? I can easily defeat him. He saw very clearly how Hanuman, who was just a small servant of Lord Ram, had single-handedly burnt Lanka. He saw how empowered by Lord Ram he could do it. Still, nothing came to his mind. He experienced in his own life the power of Lord Ram when he was on the battlefield, how powerful Lord Ram was. Still, he did not make the right choice. And Lord Ram was so kind that Lord Ram was willing to give an opportunity even to Ravan to change. That is the nature of the Lord. Till the last minute, he keeps giving chances to change. When Vibhishan came and surrendered to Lord Ramchandra, at that time, Lord Ramchandra was in such a magnanimous mood. He said, Anayena Harisreshtham Das Dattam Asyabhayam Maya Vibhishano Va Sugrivo Yadi Va Ravana Swayam. Today, I'm in such a magnanimous mood. You go and you get anyone, I am willing to give him Abhayadan. Dattam Asya Abhayam Maya Vibhishano. Whether it's Vibhishano Sugriv, Yadi Va Ravana Swayam. If Ravan comes here today and tells me, my dear Lord, I am yours, forgive me, I'll forgive all of his sins. I'll forgive the sin of his having kidnapped Sita and give him shelter at my lotus feet. So he gave him all the choices. Still, Ravan did not accept that choice. And therefore, Ravan is said to be the greatest of all fools. After burning Lanka, when Hanumanji came to meet Ravan, Hanumanji was advising Ravan, change and take shelter of Lord Ram. He said to Ravan, my dear Ravan, look, who is sent as a peace messenger? The most insignificant of all people is sent as a peace messenger. Lord Ram has sent me as a peace messenger, which means I am so insignificant. And you saw what I did. Right? If I am the most insignificant of his people, because he sent me as a messenger, you saw what I have done to your Lanka. Right? And I am just one. He has a huge sena of vanaras like me. Insignificant like me. And if all of us come together collectively, you can't imagine the kind of trouble that you will be in. And we are all given that power by Lord Ramchandra. So you can imagine how powerful Lord Ram is. And you are wanting to combat him. Change, Baba. Nothing happened to him. Right. And because they made the wrong choices, their destiny was also fatal. The destiny was being killed at the hands of Krishna and Ram. Of course, being killed, but then ultimate liberation, because they were killed by the Lord. Here we find in this episode, King Chitraketu also making a wrong choice in the beginning. Instead of worshipping Lord Sankarshan, he has made a wrong choice of wanting a son. And he has also gone through the suffering, the lamentation, the agony of having lost the son. But he is intelligent. He is not foolish. When he heard the advice given by Narada and Angira Munis, when he experienced the agony and the lamentation he went through, both combined together, now he's made the right choice. And because of the right choice that he has made, what is the ultimate result? He is seeing Lord Sankarshan face to face. Therefore, life is all about making choices moment by moment. And thus I was just discussing in that same class at ISKCON Kathmandu, a beautiful example I read in a book. Life is compared to a book. And just like there are chapters in a book, similarly the book of life also has several chapters. Just like each chapter is written for a certain amount of pages, each chapter of our life is also written for a certain number of pages. Each chapter of our life comprises of 365 pages. Right. Other chapters you will find different page numbers, different pages. But this chapter is fixed. Every chapter is 365 pages. And how many chapters in the book of life? As many years as we live. And there are several chapters that have already been written. For some it is 20, for some is 30, for some is 35. The chapters of a book of life are already written. And this book was mentioning, now is the time to introspect. Just like there is this quote which says, opportunity is now here, or opportunity is nowhere. Just a matter of changing one alphabet here and there. Opportunity could be taken as now here, or it is nowhere. So this book was mentioning that it is important that we introspect and see how the books, the chapters of the book of life are written till now. What has been written on this book? Has it been written in black, dark ink, smudgy all over? Has it been written in bad handwriting? Has it been written in foul language? Or has it been written in, you know, beautiful golden ink, in handwriting like pearls, in the most beautiful poetic languages of all? Now is the time to introspect. Most often, if not always, the chapters of the book of life, till we come to Krishna consciousness, are written in dark ink. Because we have made the wrong choices. Most often, if not always, it's written in crooked, bad handwriting. Because we never learned how to write properly the book of life. Most often, if not always, it has been written in foul language. Not a very good thing to do. But the choice is still with us. Because the rest of the chapters are still to be written.
The pages of the rest of the chapters of the book of life are still vacant and empty. And if we choose, we can use golden ink. If we choose, we can learn how to write good handwriting. If we choose, we can learn how to use good language. And what is the speciality of Krishna conscious choices? The speciality of Krishna conscious choices are, the rest of the chapters will be written nicely and the last chapters, all the previous chapters will all be erased. Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. That is the beauty of making Krishna conscious choices. Thus, it is that choice that will decide what happens to us in our Krishna consciousness in the future. Like Govindpur was mentioning in his Sunday class that there is no limit to how high we can go in Krishna consciousness and there is no limit to how low we can go in Krishna consciousness. It is all a matter of making the right choice. And I was just discussing with someone yesterday, if we buy a computer and we have a Pentium chip there, Pentium 5 processor, even if you don't upgrade that machine, it'll keep running. If you maintain it in a good way, it'll keep running. At least it won't go down if you're maintaining it properly. But in Krishna consciousness, unless we upgrade our Krishna consciousness, even maintenance is hard. In Krishna consciousness, maintenance is not possible by maintenance. In Krishna consciousness, maintenance is possible only by upgradation. Only when we refine the quality of our Krishna consciousness by making the right choice day after day after day, can we maintain Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we don't upgrade and we think we can maintain by just maintaining what we do, just going on, then degradation is there. It's not like a machine. A Pentium chip without upgrading will continue performing without going down. But the inside chip, our consciousness, cannot be on the same level. It has to go down if it's not upgrading. So there is no plateau in Krishna consciousness. And thus making the right choices constantly is so crucial and of paramount importance. And every moment those choices will be there in front of us. Whether we want to appreciate the association of devotees that we are put in and take full advantage, or we want to continuously commit aparadhas and offenses. Whether we want to attentively hear the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, or we want to be distracted and continue on the track of our mind, going into the past, going into the future. Whether we want to take the opportunity that has been given to serve very seriously, or we want to just take it casually. And based on what we choose, our destiny will be fixed. So here we find Chitraketu Maharaj making the right choice. Narad Muni and Angira Muni have given him proper association, proper guidance, and he has made the right choice. And the result is he is seeing Sankarshan. Therefore we are in such wonderful association, with such wonderful guidance given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and His followers. It's just a question of choosing the right thing all the time, moment by moment by moment. And if we are choosing the right thing constantly, we are upgrading our consciousness. If we are not choosing the right thing constantly and thinking, I'll just go on like this, we are degrading our consciousness. Just naturally, just the way it functions. Right?